When Christmas guns fall silent and last horse bugles blow, beyond that sound of stillness, where is my name? I am unknown. Beyond that sound of stillness, where is my name? I am unknown.
Morning, Mrs. Proud.
Nelly, so you're back.
Not for long, don't worry. Just a week's leave and then I'm on my merry way.
To pop a ringer? Oh, don't look so surprised. I do follow the headlines.
Well, they had moved us out to Centoma, but Field Hospital is back up and running now, just about. So, back to Pop we go. Everyone pulled together to get things back on track.
Oh, much as we have done here, of course. The White Horse is now the headquarters for the Women's Volunteer Reserve, for the Regional Agricultural Volunteers. It adds a great burden to one's duties, but there we are.
I saw the ladies on the way in. They seem to be having a jolly time of it.
This is a serious business. We now have direct responsibility for every forkful of manure in the district.
I can imagine.
Nothing shall deter the commissioners from maximum production. Indeed, we shall not rest until every acre of our jurisdiction is covered.
Nelly! It is you! Oh, I thought I were dreaming.
No more than usual.
Mrs. Trotter is asking for you, ma'am. It's about quarters for the pig division.
If I've told her once, I've told her 1,000 times. I'm up to my neck in it. I'll see to her. Can you refill the pots and be ready to serve luncheon at 12 noon, precisely?
Oh, I thought it was you, but you never said you were coming.
Oh, it was all last minute, as ever. All leave was cancelled, then things quietened down and it was uncancelled again. It's just for a few days, though. Oh, I couldn't resist calling into the old high horse, for old time's sake.
Oh, it's been such a bear of a day. I couldn't imagine anything so good happening as you being here. Oh, 30 ladies from the whole division for the regional meeting. And the ones from the chicken unit are foul. Here, have a cup of tea.
I've already had me two.
Well, have another one. You've got 2 hands, haven't you? Oh, it's all so rotten.
Are you all right, Edie?
I keep hoping that one morning I'll wake up and it's all over.
Don't we all?
Have you heard anything from Sydney? I haven't had a thing from Tommy for weeks now, and when a card does arrive, it's never more than still muddy.
It's probably the truth.
But have you heard from Sydney?
I think they're still in rotation near Tyne Cot somewhere.
Tyne Cot?
That's right.
But, no, Nelly, isn't that where Sid and Tommy were that very first Christmas?
Close to, I think.
The same spot?
Give or take a few 100 yards, aye, I think so.
In 3 years? What, and who decides when it's time to pack it all in and send them home?
Hey, you can't talk like that. It's dissent.
Well, it's daft and I don't care who hears me say it.
Come on, Edie. This isn't you.
This is me. It's me, married for 4 years and never seen Tommy for more than 7 weeks since he left. I mean, how am I supposed to know him as he is now? How's he supposed to know me?
He'll be back, Edie. I know he will.
There's some days I can barely remember his face.
This won't last forever, Edie, and then he'll be back right enough. I can feel it in me bones. And as you know, I've never been wrong about anything yet.
And I'm always wrong about everything. To hear the missus talk, I am anyway.
Well, what does she know? She's about as sharp as a sack full of wet mice. Oh, it's good to be back.
Stay then.
It really is so quiet here.
Well, it won't be in a minute when Lady Would-Be-Could-Be realises I haven't made a fresh brew. I'm pretty sure they'll be able to hear her on the other side at Channel.
Aye. Right over the noise of the artillery barrage. Her Arthur will say, "Hang on a minute, lads. I'm sure that sounded like my missus."
Oh, Nelly, we shouldn't be laughing, should we?
Why not? There's a thousand things about wartime that are funny. They shouldn't be, but they are. Well, look at all the bother they had with the radio operators relaying messages from trench to trench. So, the officer starts out saying, "Send reinforcements, we're going to advance." And by the time he reaches headquarters, the colonel gets, "Send 3 4, we're going to advance."
Is that really true?
Nah, I think they made it up for the wiper's dime.
I thought you were having me on.
Aye, I was. But I did have a friend in Arras sent back to base. "Urgent field operation, take gauze and bandages." And when the runner arrived, he said, "Where was the sergeant near starvation? Because he'd brought him his ham sandwiches."
Oh, I could do with an ham sandwich.
Oh, well, how about this one, though? The captain says, "The crowds will go running if they see enemy tanks first." And by the time it gets to the other end of the trench, the message says, "They're screaming votes for women. It must be Emily Pankhurst."
Oh, don't let Mrs. Proud hear you say that. She had enough trouble with the sheep.
Sheep?
Don't ask. Oh, I wish you didn't have to go back, Nelly.
But I do.
Well, you could stay here, I'm sure, you know, if you really wanted to.
But I want to go back, Edie. Oh, there were 39 left in the motley crew when I came away. I can't help but wonder what's become of them. Oh, there's a kind young boy. I lost his leg to the gas gangrene, but he's going to pull through. 2 head cases I'm fond of, and 3 from the tank corps barred with shrapnel. Oh, well, he's been quieter since the push at the ridge. 2,500 cases a day we saw then. Captain Flynn and the other surgeons operating in the sleep. He was amazing, really. Well, they all were.
Captain Flynn? You like him then?
Well, it helps when you're running an hospital if the fellow in charge knows what he's doing.
What's it really like, Nelly?
Never enough hours in a day.
I feel like that all the time.
Aye, it's just like being here, except for the shelling.
Oh, you're so brave, Nelly. I don't know how you do it.
Hey, it's the lads who are taking the brunt of it.
But I thought you had to be evacuated, Mrs. Proud said.
Unfortunately for her, none of those wayward Jack Johnsons actually hit us.
Nelly, don't say that.
Well, she never liked us much before, and I reckon she likes me even less now. It's you deserves the award for bravery for dealing with Her Majesty every day.
I don't have a brave bone in me body.
Oh, I've got it easy out there by comparison. Most nights I've got a bed to go to, and we've got the orderlies for all the heavy lifting, and I've got some better auxiliary nurses this time. They're a bit posh like her indoors, but not afraid to muck in, I'll give them that.
Edith!
Oh, I reckon Arthur must have heard that one all right. His ears are be twitching right now.
The tea, child.
Sorry, Mrs. Proud.
This is hardly a source of amusement. Cups are empty and not a hope of replenishment.
She's only had 5 minutes sit down. She's been on the go since 6, I'll bet.
5. I had to do the post first.
That is as may be, but our guests are waiting. The arrival of the poulet cocotte is imminent.
Beg pardon, ma'am?
The poulet cocotte for luncheon.
Oh, are we expecting another guest, ma'am? As I'm not sure there's really enough to go around.
Poulet cocotte, chicken stew. Oh, why do I bother?
It's French. Throw in some extra bread, Edie. They'll never know the difference.
You shall not, Edith. With the price of flour at an all-time high of 8 shillings a sack, bread is to be discreetly rationed. Let us be thankful that the thinner style of slicing is still fashionable at society table, even in these changing times. And, Nelly, you will be joining us for luncheon. Lady Smythwick Hidcup has asked for you specifically.
Me, Mrs. Proud?
The accepted convention is that, during dinner time only, you may refer to me as Victoria. Yes, Lady Smythwick Hidcup is asking for you. Apparently, your reputation precedes you.
Whatever it is, I didn't...
Your dedication has been noted in dispatches. Some glowing words from a Captain Flynn.
Your Captain Flynn?
He's not my Captain Flynn.
A recommendation for the Royal Red Cross for bravery under fire, apparently.
Is he really very handsome, Nelly?
Edith, that is hardly relevant.
Is a perfect gentleman.
I'm sure this Captain Flynn has always extended the utmost courtesy to Nelly, even considering her circumstances.
My circumstances?
So, the Royal Red Cross. Are they quite sure?
Are you getting a medal, Nelly?
Remarkable.
Apparently so, Edie. There was a shell went off just near the clearing station and, well, there were a handful of lads got a blighty when the shell went off, but they were the lucky ones.
What's a blighty?
It's what all the lads are wishing for, if they're honest.
Not the officers, I would imagine.
It's a wound that won't kill you, but bad enough to get you off the Menin Road and on the first hospital boat back.
A wound? What sort of a wound?
I've seen all sorts, Edie, and none of them good. But a lot of the lads, they're just plain exhausted and a blighty gets you home.
It has a ring of cowardice to it, if you ask me.
Even the Germans in the ward. You see, the faces light up when they get marked down for a ship to England.
There are Germans in the hospital?
Of course there are, Edie. They need stitching up and putting back together, same as the next man.
And this Royal Red Cross business. Lady Smythwick Hidcup is sure to ask me at the most inconvenient moment. I must be well versed. Are you still here, Edith?
Yes, ma'am.
Sit down and join us, Edie, and I'll tell you the whole laughable story.
I should think not.
Anyone can see she's overworked. You? Calling on her night and day, treating her like a...
like a servant? She is a servant.
Well, she shouldn't have to be. Not now, when I've seen girls out there in France lifting loads like navvies on the line, fighting with the fire service and driving ambulance trucks through craters the size of a house. God, it makes a mockery of this life.
Edith has the admirable quality of knowing her place in society. And has no aspiration to anything otherwise.
Aye. And you fight tooth and nail to keep her down there.
Hey, I'm doing my bit, Nelly, for the war.
Well, I didn't mean you weren't doing your best.
I'm doing the letters and that summit.
And that is brave, what you're doing, when there's 20 young lads won't take the letters out.
The superstitious poppycock. And let it be known, I have supported all household efforts to progress the war effort. Even when Edith has shown little natural affinity to the task of postal delivery.
That's not fair.
The truth is, they've never had a worse post boy. But Edith is the only volunteer.
I just got in a muddle.
With all the correspondence from Mrs. White's cousin in Scarborough going to Mrs. Brown at the schoolhouse.
Well, it's not my fault. No one ever sent brown envelopes to Mrs. White. That was just daft.
Not to mention a parcel of ladies' under things delivered to the Reverend Blend.
How did you manage that, Edie?
I just got in a fluster, that's all.
With your letters?
I was managing all right until Mrs. Joplin got laryngitis.
Yes, lost for words for the first time in her life.
That was when the trouble started.
Thankfully, she wasn't able to pass further comment on the situation. Both packages were clearly marked. It was extremely embarrassing for all concerned.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am.
Don't listen to her, Edie. It's only her daft fault that you got in this mess in the first place.
I have no desire to listen to such a tirade and under my own roof.
Well, you should do, because you brought all this on yourself if you just listened in the first place.
To what?
To Edith!
Why ever would I do that?
When she tried to explain why she wasn't suited to delivering letters and parcels for the village.
Stop it, Nelly, it's all right. I can do it now.
How then?
Well, see, Mrs. Joplin normally says something about the parcel and I just remember the story and pair it up with the right house.
It really isn't seemly to pry into someone's affairs, scrutinising correspondence in such detail. Surely a glance would be all that was needed.
Aye, for you and I, maybe, but not for someone who can't read.
Can't read?
Like Edie.
Am I right?
Edith?
Yes.
Can't read?
No, ma'am.
Then why, in God's name, didn't you tell me?
I did try, ma'am, but...
And that's one of them thousand things, Edie, that shouldn't be funny. But it is.
Well, not for me, it's not.
You can't read at all, not a jot.
Well, a bit, but really not so much. Not at all, no.
The whole of Thankful in the Vale held to ransom for news, and a messenger who can't read.
I did try to tell you, ma'am.
I shall write to Mrs. Jopling at once and explain my misunderstanding.
Can't do that.
Oh, please don't, Mrs. Proud.
It is the only remotely sensible course of action.
No, but I've pretty much got a system now and there've been no complaints for the last fortnight.
Can't you see she's trying her best and with Tommy away, well, she'll need the money, won't you?
Well, it does help.
Very well, then. So be it.
And I've not yet had a letter that the owner didn't like, so... Well... Maybe the blacksmith's luck will hold out and it'll stay that way.
This really is most irregular.
Eh, have you been to the forge, Nelly, since Sidney's father?
Not yet.
I would have thought that would be your first port of call, visiting his family.
I will do.
Are you to be married, Nelly?
We'll see.
Oh, are you really? Oh, at the parish church, like me and Tommy. Oh, did you hear that, Mrs. Proud?
I did. Congratulations.
That's not important. Yes, whether you've heard anything, Mrs. Proud, from Arthur, Mr. Proud.
I have.
Still at Tynecott?
Well, on that matter, I can't say.
And any news of coming home?
I have had some confidential correspondence, yes.
But they're all right, aren't they?
For goodness sake, can't you tell us something? Surely we're all in the same boat now. Well, we're all here and they're all there. Where's your compassion? Not everyone can be an ice queen like you, Victoria.
How dare you!
But you don't seem to care whether those lads come or stay in the trenches, whether Mr. Proud is here or not.
He isn't here, is he? And what use of sighs and moans? I may as well try to hold back the tide. I have simply chosen to live within the bounds of reality, not in some sort of a fantasy within in my own mind.
But what about showing some sort of emotion, some passion?
This is hardly a fitting conversation for ladies.
But why not? Why do we still have to hide behind politeness, behind grey walls?
It is our duty.
No, my duty is to love all consuming.
Your head is in the clouds, the pair of you, whereas some of us have a greater understanding of what is at stake.
I know firsthand what's at stake.
Why you should lecture me on the quality of service required by a wife is beyond me. Far more than following your own fanciful whims.
Whims?
You could have done far worse than staying Thankful in the Vale and wait for your Sydney's return.
He's not my Sydney.
But I imagine his wishes pale by contrast to your own. This is the modern woman in action.
So, I should just waste my life waiting here for what?
It's not a waste of a life.
I didn't mean you, Edie.
You shouldn't say that, Nelly. It's not right.
Oh, I didn't mean you. I meant me. Every man who comes through my ward, oh, I'll do anything, everything I can in my power to pull him through. Oh, I'll love them all and bring as many back to life as I can, whatever it takes.
A flair for the dramatic, as we have come to expect.
And why not? Why not actually feel something? Why not shout or dance and chase down fleeting moments of beauty and light and stop to laugh in the face of death?
Stop it, Nella! You'll bring bad fortune on us all!
And shame upon yourself.
But what else can we do but choose life? To live with a fury while we still can? I'll tell you why they want to give me a medal, Victoria. And I hope you tell Lady Sly Old Hiccup word for word, because there's no shame in it. After the blast, well, we'd done all we could for the living. Everyone was exhausted beyond the point of rescue. And then one of the auxiliaries came to me in a flurry saying I was needed in the square. The mortuary corporal was in a terrible state and I was needed to sort him out before his superiors got wind of it. And there he was, with all the bodies laid around him. A blanket up for each and every poor soul. Sobbing his heart out. There, I said. But I knew we'd seen worse. You see, his task was to sort the men so the right padre could bury him, you know. Roman Catholic, Church of England, Jew. But they'd all been carried out in such a hurry that most of the labels were lost. He was having to guess as best he can from the faces of men he knew and ask me about some of the others. Well, after another hour, I would have given it up as a lost cause. But for the anguish of the corporal, after a while I said gently, oh, surely they'll all come to peace the same way, regardless of our efforts. But 'tis worse, he said, for how can we find the officers amongst the men? Again, I said, surely they'll all be buried the same way. But they can't, sister. They can't be, they just can't. And I will never forget his face. He says, they can't, sister. For many's hammered, and officers is screwed. And it was mostly exhaustion, and I knew I shouldn't. But I laughed. I couldn't help it. Oh, how I laughed. Many's hammered, and officers is screwed. And you would have laughed too.
If I could buy a blighty, I would lay me money down. Then they'd carry me into town. I'd be home before you know it, with a bit of a scar to show it, and me sweetheart's name tattooed below it. If only I could buy a bleeding blighty. I've had a bellyache from the sergeant major's cake, and I've had some aching teeth through chewing through bully beef. I've had a rash through misbehaving, and I've cut me top lip shaving. But I've never had enough to get a blighty. Well, if I could buy a blighty, I would lay me money down. Then they carry me into town. I'd be home before you know it, with a bit of a scar to show it, and me sweetheart's name tattooed below it. If only I could buy a bleeding blighty. I've been puking with the stench of what was lying in me trench. I've had a bullet or two in me pack, and the weight near broke me back. And me tunic's torn with shrapnel, and me chin skin from me helmet strap. But I've never had enough to get a blighty. Well, if I could buy a blighty, I would lay me money down. Then they'd carry me into town. town. I'd be home before you know it, with a bit of a scar to show it, and me sweetheart's name tattooed below it. If only I could buy a bleeding blighty. I've dodged the jerry guns, I've had the flu, I've had the runs. The wire has torn me putty, strained me groin when playing footy. I've sneezed me way through winters, I've had grazes, bruises, splinters, but I've never had enough to get a blighty. Well, if I could buy a blighty, I would lay me money down. Then they carry me into town. I'd be home before you know it, with a bit of a scar to show it, and me sweetheart's name tattooed below it. If only I could buy a bleeding blighty.